This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
FRG Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia
and Justine Hughes,
as we break open the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Sunday Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influences, Father Rob Gallia Homilies. Episode 10, and here we are sitting around this table again in, again, a new space.
New space. It seems like every time we're in a new space. Last time we were in a new space, this time we're in an even newer, but it's not even our space yet, really.
Not quite. We're almost there. But we're excited to be able to take you on that journey with us. Yes. And if you're listening on the audio, you can see a vision of what this is by heading to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/FRG Ministry.
It's pretty cool. It's got, you know, new car smell?
Yes, yeah.
It's got new warehouse smell.
Yes, that's right. We're in the new FRG Ministry studio, and we're surrounded by new equipment and bigger screens and a lot of fancy stuff that we use for our online courses, for online mass, and a whole lot of stuff reaching out literally to millions of people across the world. So we're grateful to be in we're humbled to be able to be in this space where we're reaching out through this state-of-the-art studio. Anyway, this is not what we're about. At the end of the day, we want to give you Jesus, right? We want to reach out to your hearts.
This is the most wonderful time of the year, Advent, Christmas. To prepare you for this wonderful season, we're offering an Advent retreat. We do this every year. This year is going to be extraordinarily special.
I'm going to be one of the hosts for this retreat, along with the beautiful Rose and Augie from our FIG ministry team. We have so many amazing guests this year. Father Rob, Father Nathan, Sister Mary, Sarah. We're going to have times of prayer, talks, mass. Something for everyone.
You know, we might be separated if we're tuning in online. We might be gathering together behind a screen and tuning in. But I invite you to come and worship Jesus as we get closer to Christmas.
I hope to see you there. If you want to be a part of it, you can head to frgministry.com/events to get involved. Don't want to miss it.
I hope to join you there as we pray together and we prepare to celebrate the wonderful gift that God has given us.
And maybe what we'll do is we'll start with a little bit of a prayer, and then we'll go and talk about the subject and talk about what God has planned for us during this gospel, this Sunday's gospel. So, Father God, we thank you for your mercy and love. We thank you that today is a new day, that you have invited us into your heart and into your space. And so, God, we just want to surrender our hearts to you, our minds, our wills, so that we may be present to you. Lord, you're already present to us. You're already here. Just let us be aware of your presence, of your love. Come, Spirit of God, and speak. We give you the permission to speak. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So this Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and this Sunday's Gospel comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 33 to 37. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
Amen. And so to be on our guard all the time, to be ready. What does it mean to be ready? This is a very fitting time to be talking about these things, because like I have my Instagram, my TikTok is full of people telling me about the end times. Do you get that on your feed?
It must be your algorithm. No, I get, yeah. I get a few things and people send me a few things, but it's probably not as full as yours.
I just get food recipes all the time.
Or cat videos.
Yours sounds way more goodness, interesting.
I'm sounding like this, like a priest or something. No. But yes, this is what I get. But especially, not so much Catholic, but different Christian denominations talk a lot about, the war in Israel and Gaza, and that this is being the end times. This is the end times are coming. And a lot of people even are seeing these videos and telling me and sending me messages saying, Father Rob, is this real? Is this what's happening? And maybe we'll allude to it. I won't go into depth of this, but what is Jesus saying? See, he's talking about the end times, and he prophesied that there'll be wars, rumors of war. The book of Revelation is all about how the end times will come. So are we at the end times? Maybe we can ask this question. Or was Jesus talking about the end times? There's a lot to think and to talk about here.
There is a lot to think and talk about. Firstly, this is like a bit off topic, but I was going to say, I feel like this is the first time we've done an Advent Catholic Influencers podcast. Normally we stop the season and we do like an Advent retreat, but this year you're getting both. This year you're getting an Advent retreat plus Catholic Influencers podcast.
How awesome is that? Keeps us busy.
Yeah. For sure. But it's exciting. Okay, I was going to say, well, this is what I gathered from my research, that this passage can be talking about a bunch of different things. It can be talking about Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. It could be talking about judgment at the end of time, but it also can be talking about Jesus's upcoming passion. Mm-hmm. And there's a few ways that we can interpret this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one of the things as well that he's talking about here is I want to really focus. Let's start ask the first question, like, what was Jesus actually talking about here? He was talking about he was talking about the fall of Jerusalem here, when I think at the forefront of his mind. Now, of course, everything that is the scriptures are inspired, so they hold for every generation. The word of God here, spoken by God, did not expire with the AD 70 fall of Jerusalem, with the fall of the temple. So it does make sense. And so we have to interpret it in our times as well.
Mm-hmm. There's a cool quote I found. I don't know that I have a lot of wisdom to offer on sort of the historical significance, but St. Augustine reminds us of the second coming when he said this: it is by design that Jesus hid the last days from us. He didn't give us the date and time stamp of when it was going to happen. So it's by design that Jesus hid the last days from us so that we would be on the lookout for him every day of our lives. Mm. Respectfully, whether the end times is now doesn't really matter to me. I should have been ready yesterday. That's or the day right. before, or the day before, or 20 years ago. I don't live with this last minute packing mentality about my faith where it's like,
yes,
I'm going to heaven tomorrow. I'm going to pack my bag now. It's like, no, yeah. Like, we should be ready with our bags packed. And our bags packed meaning living a life worthy of the gospel, living a life that Jesus has commanded us to. And we live our life for heaven. We don't live our life in a sense for fear of end times, but we live our life with eternity as our horizon goal. And so I just thought that reminder from St. Augustine was really timely, as you said, bringing this into the context of today.
Yeah, when I was reading this passage, I was just also thinking of, I love how you said we leave our faith sometimes to the last minute. And we can see this in so many examples sometimes of people are on their deathbeds and then all of a sudden it's time to call the priest, but they've maybe had no interaction with the priest for most of their life. And I was reminded of very timely. A friend rang me this week to talk about how a member of her family was ill in hospital and things weren't looking great. And she, being the only practicing Catholic in her family, the family called her, "We need your help now. Can you help us with all the religious stuff, right?" And she went in and then had to have this big discussion about end of life stuff. The person who was sick and their family had big end of life questions. And so she sat and she spoke with them and she brought her parish priest along as well. But the night before, she also went there with like a pamphlet that explained perhaps going to confession and an examination of conscience. Yeah, and wow. She said to me, "I thought this was a really great opportunity for me to say to the rest of the family, hey, this is something you guys should be looking into as well."
Good on that.
Which I thought was just such a great thing. And I think sometimes these events in life, when we have family who perhaps have these experiences, they can make us have this awakening and be like, hey, I really need to jump into this now and because nothing's guaranteed. You know, we can plan our whole life from the beginning and think, oh, when I grow old, I'll go to Mass. When I grow old, I'll go to confession and be ready to meet God. Be ready now. Be ready yesterday, as you said.
Yeah, and I think I was just reminded of this line that came up. I was speaking at a conference recently, and just this thought of get to know Jesus now so you're not strangers when he does come again.
Yes.
You know, he wants to be in relationship with you now. You don't have to be a stranger. You don't have to have that awkward first conversation with Jesus when he's standing right in front of you in his second coming. Like, you can really get to know him intimately and deeply now.
Because once you're on this point, like the second coming of Christ, because some people don't even know.
True.
What is that? What do you understand by that? Like the second coming of Christ. What do you mean, the second coming of Christ?
Don't look at me.
You can answer that question.
No, but I think this is explaining the scripture that even in Mass, we say Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, or until you come in glory. So God promised us that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And this is not in hell. And this is not the same thing as when everyone disappears. What's that?
The rapture.
So it's not the same as the rapture. So the rapture is a matter of interpretation. If you want to interpret the scripture, literally, one will be in a field, and one will disappear, one will go. So that is more of a literal translation, literal interpretation. But the second coming of Christ is when he will gather those who followed him, who know him, unto him, and those who have chosen to reject him away from him. So we know that Christ is coming and will come. It's maybe in our lifetime, maybe not. And it's so clear that Jesus says, nobody knows the day or the hour. But again, these things that we keep getting on social media is that, okay, so it's imminent that Jesus is coming, and he's coming because these are the signs that he said. But every generation has these signs. And I'm not discounting that Christ could come again, and he could very well come again. But I think be aware of those who have such clarity in knowing the day and the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we have to be make sure we don't lose our brain when we're engaging with content like that, and making sure that we're fact checking, and you don't have to forfeit your brain thinking about that. I think one thing that really stood out to me is that exhortation to be watchful and be alert. Well, how do we do that? Do we just like fret around and like, mm-hmm. I'm constantly alert and I don't sleep at night anymore, mm-hmm. and I watch my cameras to see if this is the end times? It's like, no, actually, what does being watchful and alert mean? And so I think it's really interesting in this scripture, you know, Jesus is, you know, like the man going to a far country, you know, that's the analogy. And he leaves three things with his servants, and he leaves his house, his authority, and his work. And to be watchful and alert means to engage with what Christ has left for us. He didn't just ditch.
See yous.
Like, you know, after the ascension, he didn't ditch.
It's a sound effect.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. He left his house. What is Jesus' house that he left? He left his church. He left the authority of the church, but he left the fullness of the church here on earth to bring bring him glory. He instituted the church. So stay close to the church. His authority, you know, we are to live and serve the authority of Jesus, the teachings, you know, and live the way of life that he has commanded us, the way of life that will bring us a life to the full, way of life that isn't always easy, but one that by living out a life in obedience to Jesus' authority keeps us watchful, keeps us alert, keeps us ready. And then lastly, his work. You know, we have work to do. He has a call. He has a mission. He has a task for each of us to do. So spend your days being watchful and alert by living out the great call that God has put on your life. That is not always peachy, you know. That is sometimes hard, but is beautiful as well. So I think these are the tools that he's given us to stay alert, to stay watchful. He's not a ditcher. He doesn't just say peace out and good luck. I think that I found really helpful. How do I stay alert? How do I not fall asleep?
And also, should you see the second coming of Christ and the judgment, in a sense, should bring us joy, not fear.
Mm.
You know, I've spoken again to many people who often pray, God, Jesus, please come quickly. Come into this world. Come and save us quickly. They cannot wait for that moment. It's not that they're sick, dying in bed and suffering, and they want their suffering to be over. There are people like that as well. But there are people who are just so much longing for this intimacy with Christ. Mm. So much longing, because they understand that this is a joyful, not a scary moment. If it is a scary moment, then one, you either are not ready for his second coming, or you don't understand. You don't understand his love. Mm-hmm. You think that he's here to send you somewhere, or you think that death is going to send you to this kind of abyss where you're going to miss everything you love. No, you're going to be completely united, completely just in union with everything that you loved in this world that was rightly ordered. And not only that, it's going to fulfill your heart. Christ is going to fulfill your heart in a way that you could never even have hoped or imagined in this life.
Mm, absolutely. I think we've covered everything that I was going to say, but I have to backtrack a little bit. Did we talk about the exact thing that Jesus was talking about in this passage? Because in this passage, he's talking to Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and he says, "What I say to you, I'm saying to everyone." So we know this message is for everyone. But did we talk about the destruction of the temple?
I thought you were going to talk about it.
Well, yes.
Well, again, Jesus was, if you want to talk about his intention at the moment, what the apostles in front of him would have understood in hindsight was the destruction of the temple. He was talking about the fall of Jerusalem, but he could also have been talking about his own death, his own crucifixion. And also, if you took it as a parousia type of thing, the end of times, he could have been talking about that, but that's not how they would have understood him. And that's not how they would have understood it after his resurrection. They would have understood, hey, we have seen it in our generation. In fact, the first biblical scholars thought, hey, Jesus maybe made a mistake here, because it wasn't the end. But you see, and then we've come through understanding that he wasn't talking about the end times in as much as he was talking about the destruction of the temple, keeping close to him, and also his death and resurrection. Mm-hmm.
Encounter by FRG Ministry presents our online subscription package. As a member, you will receive digital on-demand access to Encounter's growing library of online courses. Encounter and Encounter Youth online courses cover teaching, devotional, and practical elements of the Catholic faith to help individuals, teachers, students, and parishes across the world grow in their faith and understanding of the Catholic Church and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Current titles include Knowing Mary, School of Prayer, Introduction to the Bible, The Mass, and more, with new courses being added regularly. All Encounter courses include high-definition videos with expert and engaging speakers, testimonies from everyday Catholics, and downloadable content including interactive PDF guides, prayer cards, and wallpapers. These courses are also accredited for professional development for Catholic education staff in Australia. All Encounter Youth courses include teaching videos, interactive teacher and student PDFs with lesson plans, and guided prayer and reflection. For more information about enrollment and subscription options, head to www.encountercourses.com/subscription. Be sure to follow us on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Encounter Courses.
Another week, another curly question. Mm-hmm. We're going to jump straight in. I feel that God has called me to marriage, but I'm 30 and still single. What do I do?
Give up. You have no hope.
You are the
once you're
worst.
Over 30. I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my gosh.
You know, can I tell you something? A lot of the weddings, I'd say 50% of the weddings I do now, let's say, are of people who have asked this question. I'm 30, I'm 25, I'm even 35, even 40, and I've been praying all of this time for someone to marry. And I know I'm called to marriage. This is not me, but they're saying, I know I'm called to marriage, but where? Where's my husband? Where's my wife? So I'm like, I'm hope-filled, but at the same time, I think there are certain things that we need to do.
Mm-hmm. I was in this boat, hey, I was 30 and I was about to be 31 and I was recently single So I was like, what the heck? Like, God, you know my heart. God, I've been praying. Da, da, da. I've been faithful. And I knew all the talks. I knew the, like, you know, marriage isn't going to fulfill all your desires. I knew all the, like, you know, just keep living your life and then the right person will walk in. But every time someone said that, I kind of wanted to be like, oh, thank you so much. I have never heard that before. Didn't, just because I asked the question and didn't mean that I wasn't being faithful. So if that's you out there, I feel your sister or brother, like I feel you. And I really appreciate the practicality of this. So I would say, speaking from experience, I want to ask this person, or if you fit into this category, are you being proactive? I know what I'm about to say isn't a silver bullet. And I know you might have been asked this before, but have you tried online dating? I know, don't roll your eyes at me, don't at me. Like, have you tried it? And it's not that bad. I met my husband on Catholic Match, and I didn't want to sign up and I didn't want to be on Catholic Match. And I was like, I know everyone in Melbourne, like, this is going to be so embarrassing. And I was like, Justine, if you want to meet someone, you've exhausted your social circles, just get over your pride and go on. And
statistically, think about it this way, you know, people don't have time to, before it was like they'd go to the Catholic dances and the Catholic ball dances or whatever, they would have all of that. And they would, it was the Catholic singles. In fact, one of the biggest dating events in the world is World Youth Day. You know, that's a place where so many, because it's a place where Catholics gather in one place. But today, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen where people, Catholics, don't gather except for Mass. But Mass is difficult because very often you are in your own space and you're in your own prayer space. Now, people socialize, but a lot don't. And also, strangely enough, the world is becoming a little bit more introverted, and you become more introverted as you get older. So you want your own space as you get older. So I'm not here to endorse any online dating, but I'm also, I see how valuable it is. And how good it is. And again, I do a lot of weddings, and this I've never been on an online dating site, but you can choose whether you want a Catholic person, you can choose, mention about your morals and certain things. So,
and you can engage with it as much or as little as you want to. Like, you have the power to say no. It's not like you're losing control, and you could be prayerful about it too.
Yeah,
you could say, God, give me a discerning heart. Like, it's not all bad.
I was going to say, there are some Christian and Catholic online dating not applications or programs, but sites and even things on social media that I've seen. We were discussing, we've seen Emily Wilson is a Catholic speaker, singer, who we've had on some of our FIG events. Recently, she had some posts where she did a bit of a matchmaking thing where people could write where they were from and their age and interest in the comments. And I think the last time I checked, there were six or so couples, like it's all in the USA, but like flying interstate to meet each other, and like relationships have blossomed from that. So online could be scary, but we need to make use of the technology that we have.
Maybe I'll do a post on my social media.
Oh my gosh.
All singles, please.
That was actually one thing. I'm like, maybe because we should start a Catholic influencer.
Emily Wilson, a very good friend of mine, but she has most of her demographic is single women. And I suppose young single men would be terrified to post that. But anyway, but that's, I think it's so important. It doesn't, look, and you have to see certain towns, like, I know, like country Victoria where I live, Catholic singles is not really, you're not going to find a lot of people. So like this thing, I hear a lot about one called Bumble. So that's where I've done quite a few weddings that came from Bumble anyway.
Or a Tinderella story. They're the secular weddings that I sing at.
I think it's important to talk about, though, not compromising.
Yes.
And it's not just in the context of apps and online dating, not compromising on our morals, but also, you know, as we get older, perhaps we need to ask ourselves the question, like, what are some standards or criteria that I have that are perhaps a bit more flexible, but what are those ones that I'm just not going to compromise on? And I would say the bucket that I'd say definitely don't compromise on is morals, 100%. But is there another bucket that is less important, maybe a little bit superficial, maybe a little bit controlling, where you're like, oh, he must be this, or she must be that.
Yes.
That actually, that's you being a little bit controlling.
Or wanting to retain the cake and eating it, like to have the cake and eat it.
Yeah.
So relationships require compromise, right?
What do you guys reckon about that?
Definitely don't compromise on the morals. And speaking from experience, I would just say that even if you find someone who may not necessarily share your faith to the level that you do, it is still possible to not compromise on your morals mm-hmm. and be in a relationship with someone, and you perhaps could be called to be that person's highway to Jesus in That's a sense. Right.
And then, but don't get married with the intention, one day I will
convert
them, because maybe God is asking you to love them even if they don't convert.
Because I will say, I know some people who were getting a little bit older and were still single, and I'm not going to name names, but perhaps rushed.
Yes.
And their marriage has been in turmoil.
Yes.
Because for a couple of months, they were stoked that I'm not single anymore. I'm married. It was finally me. But they overlooked some really important stuff, not even moral things, character, personal traits, or unpacking personal histories that are is quite an important process to do and to be really wise about. So you want to hold it in balance. We're not saying be stupid about it, but don't rush, for goodness sake.
But like, don't rush it. This is what happens as well when you're, let's say, 35, 40. Usually, from what I see, is that people are dating and within 2 months they're married.
Mm.
You know, like, because they know what they want, they found what they want. And do you think that there's a danger there?
I think that that's an exception to the rule. You can't speak on someone else's behalf. But I would say, for the most part, the majority of relationships need more than 2 months, Absolutely. No matter how old you are. I don't, you know.
Why? What do you discover after 2 months? Like, I'm asking.
Seriously. Yeah. I think it's a great question. I think when you spend time with someone, you're going to get the best of somebody in the first 2 months.
That's right.
They're going to put their best foot forward. Yeah. It's all the sparks flying. But then once that starts to rub off, or you're spending a lot of time together over a time period, you really get to know people's true colors. And the same, you know, with me and my husband when we were dating. He's a great guy, and I think I'm an all right person, but I can get really annoying. And you experience life together and things happen, and stuff from your past comes up when you allow it the time. Mm. And when stuff from your past comes up, often you start to see somebody's truth, and you start to see whether they've spent time unpacking that. You start to see their true colors. You start to see how they talk to you and people around. So I would say there's no rush. Like, please don't, for the sake of your future. If you think in 2 months that you can marry them, just wait a little longer.
Yes.
What's a couple more months going to do other than bring good?
Yes. And I'm also aware that in our recommendation, we emphasized online dating, but there are other ways, right?
I think so. A few notes that I said is, you know, be courageous. Do you need to broaden your circles, your social circles? Like, there are things called meetups, you know. Do you need to drive a couple of hours to a different city to start going to events? I think it's worth it to broaden your circles or try and seek out people elsewhere to where you are.
And actually, even just going out, I was going to say, like, I feel like as we get older into our 30s, like, I hate going out.
Me too, amen.
I feel like that's going to be a bit of a getting out of your comfort zone and a big effort to go out and actually try and meet people.
Yes. And there's this tendency as well when we've been praying and fasting, and even someone would have prophesied over us, you're going to find this person. And there's a tendency to think, okay, this person's going to fall in my lap.
Yeah.
You know, when that takes a lot of discomfort to come to this place, and a place where this person might make you uncomfortable. It's not the person you've dreamt about for the last 30, 40 years. But how much, again, we talk about the compromise, how much are you ready to compromise what you saw the ideal woman, the ideal man to be?
I think it's beautiful to let go, to let go of the things that you thought you desperately were going to find in somebody. And again, we're not talking about the morals, but to let go and actually truly allow God to be the author of that. And I'm such a control freak. And if I hadn't have let go, I would have missed the opportunity of meeting my now husband.
Yes.
So just prayerfully just let go and examine your heart. The last thing I do want to say is to all those who are listening, who are not single, who are married, who are, you know, dating, think about your single friends too. And one thing that I'm going to do in a couple of weeks is I'm going to host a dinner. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be a singles dinner at my house. It's going to be a normal people's dinner at my house. And I'm going to casually invite, non-awkwardly, people who just so happen to be great people who are single, who are male and female, to my house.
Well, now they know about it.
I was going to say.
Yeah, but it's an unspecified time. I'm going to have lots of dinners, so you won't know which one. And just look out for your single friends and put a bit of effort in. Come on.
You know, I'm really going to put this post on my social. I'll contact Emily and ask, ask how to do it.
Yeah, but, you know, put some effort into your single friend's life and host a dinner or something like that. I reckon it'd be fun.
That's clever. Yeah, so try and figure out. Speak to your parish priest. Maybe there could be something that they organize within the parish.
Yep.
And funnily enough, can I tell you something? Talk to your parish priest. If you say, hey, do you know anyone who's single? Mm. Because a lot of us find out through spiritual direction and through confession, so we can't say and we can't allude to anything, but maybe there are conversations that happen outside of that,
mm-hmm.
that your parish priest hears a lot more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
So ask. Everyone's different, but maybe there's someone out there. It's an opportunity that could help someone.
There you go. As I said before, we are in the middle. Well, we've just begun Advent. Our Advent retreat is about to happen, or is happening. Register for that at frgministry.com/events. These three gifts, lots of guest speakers. It's going to be awesome.
And it's free, 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 as we mentioned.
Free, free, free. What else?
Free for free.
Subscribe to this podcast, even if you're listening once. So just press the subscribe button. It makes a big difference for us. And recommend this. Send this to at least one person who you think might need this. Someone who's single and ready to mingle.
And if you're listening on a platform that gives you the ability to give us a rating or some sort of review, please do that. It really does help us out a lot.
So we're grateful and we'll see you again next time. Contact us, give us your curly questions as well. We want to know if you have any questions you would like answered. As you see, we try to stretch the boundaries a bit. We're not necessarily experts. In this case, we happen to have a couple of experts with us about relationships. But anything you'd like to ask, we'll do the research before.
We love your guts, guys. We do. See us on social media, CatholicInfluencesPodcast.com.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.